2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Father, we come and thank you for the word of God. We thank you for another opportunity to look into it. Guide us into the truth through the working of your Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, we do pray for the folks in Sutherland, Texas, at First Baptist Church. Lord, what a difficult Sunday this must be. And I pray, Father, that you would minister to that church family. And we certainly pray for those who were injured, that you would heal them quickly. And for those who have lost their lives there, we pray for their families to find great comfort and great peace from you. Lord, we also pray concerning the church business meeting tomorrow night. We pray that you would guide us and direct us as a church body concerning important decisions that we need to make. Because, Lord, this is your church, not our church, and we want your will to be done here. So we're asking you to guide us and direct us in these things. Now, Lord, again, bless our Bible time as we look into the Scriptures. Teach us and instruct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the year 1918, World War I came to an end. A year later on that date, in 1919, America celebrated its first Armistice Day. And it continued to celebrate that until 1938, when Armistice Day became voted in as an actual federal holiday. It continued to be called Armistice Day until 1954, when that holiday was renamed Veterans Day. Veterans Day. And it's a day that has been set aside to honor all living veterans. Memorial Day is set aside as a day to remember veterans who have passed on. Veterans Day is to honor veterans who are still living, veterans who have served in the military of the United States of America. Now, if you are a veteran of the United States military, or you are currently serving in the United States military, I want you to stand. Because we want to applaud your service to our country. Thank you. Thank you very much. You can be seated. I want you guys to know that you are my heroes. You are my heroes. By serving the United States of America, you have served us all. And you have done so admirably. So I want to personally thank each one of you for your service to our country. It has been said, and it's true, it is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of speech, freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. Now, the definition of veteran, when it comes to these men that stood today, that definition is a person who has served in the military. And if you're a young person and you're thinking about joining the military, I would advise you to talk to some of these veterans. I'm sure they could give you some good advice. They would probably have an opinion on which branch you should join. And also what you need to do to get yourself in the physical condition to be prepared for boot camp, and also mentally how to prepare yourself. They would be able to tell you just what to expect. Well, the passage of Scripture that we just read was written by a man who was a veteran. A veteran in the army of the Lord. The Apostle Paul fought many battles. These battles had been fought for the Lord Jesus Christ. He no doubt bore the scars from these battles. He had been beaten. He had been whipped. He had been stoned throughout his years of service. You see, another definition of veteran is a person who has had long experience in a particular field. The Apostle Paul preached for over 30 years before he was martyred at the hands of Nero, the Roman Emperor. He was a veteran in the army of the Lord. And as he wrote 2 Timothy, he was nearing the end of his life. And he wanted to pass some advice down to young Timothy, a young recruit in the army of the Lord, a young soldier preparing for battle. And the advice that he gave Timothy that day is just as good for us today as we serve the Lord as it was for Timothy in Paul's day. And so let's notice the four things that Paul advised Timothy to do as a soldier in the army of the Lord. Number one, he told him to be strong. Be strong. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, that is not talking about physical strength, right? That no doubt is a requirement for the U.S. military, but it is not a requirement for the army of the Lord. It's not talking about physical strength. And it's not talking about being strong in academic strength. You know, to move up the ranks of the military, you have to be educated. The U.S. military does not have any uneducated generals or admirals. They are very well educated. To move up in the ranks of the military, you have to be educated. But that's not a requirement in the army of the Lord. So what's Paul talking about here? Notice he tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. We sing about how amazing grace is. God's grace, his unmerited favor, is with us throughout every stage of our life as a believer. Throughout every battle that we face, throughout every trial that comes along, throughout every temptation that comes across our path. God's grace is there for us. And Paul's testimony concerning God's grace from 2 Corinthians is, his grace is sufficient for me. Just like every soldier needs the backing and the support of the U.S. government, we as Christian soldiers fighting in the army of the Lord have the backing of the God who created this universe. We have his grace, and Paul tells Timothy to be strong in that grace that is in who? In Christ Jesus. God's grace comes from no other source. In John chapter 1, verse 17, we read, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God's grace doesn't come from positive thinking. It doesn't come from Buddha or Allah. It doesn't come from within ourselves. So many in this world search for strength within themselves. I'll tell you this, they will never find the strength they are looking for until they come to Christ. He He is the source. He's the source of all the grace, all the help, all the strength, all the power, all the wisdom that we need. And another place, Paul put it like this, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So the first thing he tells young Timothy here is be strong. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now the second piece of advice he gives him in verse 2 is commit. Notice this. And the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, the word commit can mean several things, but the way Paul uses it here, it means to give something to another for care, protection, or performance, or it can mean to give as a trust to someone. After reading these definitions, let me give you my definition of the word commit as it's used here. It simply means pass it on. Pass it on. When you read through the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, you can see all of the advice, all of the information, all the teaching, and more importantly, all the love that Paul had to give to Timothy. He thought of Timothy like a son. He probably longed for the day when he could sit down with Timothy on the streets of gold and just talk. And who knows, they may be sitting up there talking right now. But here, in the short time that Paul had left on this earth, he wanted to commit to Timothy things that he learned, and then he wanted Timothy to pass it on. Don't tell my dad this. Don't tell him I said this, but he's getting old. I don't want to offend anybody by saying old, but my dad's 76. Because since I was a little kid, I always considered my dad old, because he was a lot older than me, right? But he's getting old. He is a veteran in the army of the Lord. He really is. And lately, I've been thinking about things that he has taught me, the things that he has passed down to me. I've also been thinking lately about great men and women of God who have passed on their knowledge of the scriptures to me. And great saints of God, soldiers in the army of the Lord, who have shared their testimonies of all the great things that God has done in their life. They've passed, in that sense, his grace on down to me and many others as well. And I've been thinking about great soldiers of the Lord who have already gone on, who had such an impact on my life. They weren't necessarily strong or educated, but they passed on God's grace to me and others. And that's what a good soldier of the cross does. Contrary to what my children might tell you, I'm not that old. Although I have to tell you this story. Friday, I took Pam and the kids to the Chinese buffet in Woonsocket. They've been working at Dame Farm for a while, and this is the first day everybody had a day off, and nobody had any appointments or anything, so we went to the Chinese buffet for lunch. And we got there, and there was a family there that we know from Woonsocket. They send one of their sons to school here. And Dad was there with his son and two little girls. And so I walked over to the table, and I was talking with them and kind of joking with them. And when I walked away from the table to go back over to the buffet, the little girl said to her dad, "Dad, was that Santa Claus?" I thought, "Thanks a lot, you little rat." And I have not lived it down since then. I've heard it for the past 3 days. But I'm not that old. I'm not as old as Santa Claus, you know. I know that 200 years ago, a 56-year-old guy was considered fairly old. But in this day, I'm just middle-aged, and hopefully I have many more years ahead of me. But, I mean, I know only God knows that. But I want to tell you this. The things that I have learned over these 56 years, I want to pass them on. I want to pass them on. I'm certainly not the strongest, nor am I the smartest, but I want to do my best to commit to others what others have committed to me. I want to pass it on. And that is the responsibility given to every believer in Christ. Be strong in the Lord, and then commit to passing on the gospel and passing on your testimony to others. Make sure the next generation knows the truth so that they can take it and pass it on to the following generation. That's the kind of commit that Paul is talking about here. So he tells Timothy, be strong, commit. And then the next thing he tells him is endure. Endure. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Nobody said that living for Jesus would be easy in this life. Nobody's ever promised us that. I remember Pam's dad years ago, we were talking one day about his time in the Marine Corps. And he said to me something like this. I'm sure these are not the exact words, but this is the gist of it. I said, it's about his service and his time in the Marine Corps. Said, it's something I wouldn't take $1 million not to have done, but I wouldn't take $1 million to do it again. Military life can be really hard. I would imagine that if you ask some of these guys that stood today, you know, what was the hardest thing you've ever done? A lot of them probably would say serve in the military. You know, some United States veterans have spent days without food and water. Some have been captured and tortured. Some have faced hand-to-hand combat. But through it all, they endured, they overcame, they won, they were victorious. And we, as soldiers of the cross, may be called upon to endure hardness, just as many have done in the past. You know, of all the disciples, only John died a natural death. And he faced great persecutions along the way and was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. But even to this very day, there are Christians who endure hard times. A lot of missionaries endure a hard time. Many missionaries today face great hardships on the mission field. Maybe you've heard the story of a man named Joe Scriven. Joe Scriven was a missionary from Ireland to Canada, working among the Iroquois Indians. And he was joined there on the mission field in Canada by his fiancée, who was from Ireland. And just before the wedding, she was killed in an ice accident. Joe buried her with his own hands and with a broken heart. But a year later, in a letter to his mother, he enclosed a little poem that he had written that had these words: what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Joe was on the road to triumph, even though there were times when the road was rough. He understood the principle that Paul shared with Timothy, a principle that all of us need to understand. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness in his service, and don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on God. Endure. And then fourth, the last one this morning, is stay focused. That's Paul's advice to Timothy, stay focused. If you look at verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. In that verse, the old veteran of the cross tells Timothy, stay focused. Keep your eyes straight ahead and don't let anything distract you. Now, if you'll keep your finger here or put a bookmark or something, turn with me for a moment to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I love what Paul tells the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 14 through 17 of Philippians 3. Paul writes, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now, verse 14 is familiar to us. Paul says that he himself presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He keeps his eye on the goal. He doesn't let the things going on around him distract him. And that's a great verse. But I also want you to notice what he says in the next few verses. Verse 15, he says, for those of us that are perfect, and by that he means mature in our faith, he said, we need to be the same way he is. We need to set our eyes on the goal and stay focused on that goal just like him. Verse 15, he says, we need to walk by the same rule as he does. What's the rule? Keep your eyes on the Lord. That's the rule. And then in verse 17, basically he says, if you see someone with the same idea as me, as Paul, said, then let them, along with Paul, be an example. Follow good examples of others who are serving the Lord. Now, I believe this has got to be one of the best pieces of advice that Paul gives to you and I today. Just as a soldier in the Army of the United States of America must be on guard against those things that would distract him from doing his job, from doing his duty, we as Christians must be on guard against those things that might come up to distract us from our job and our duty to our commander-in-chief. Our enemy, the devil, is a master at bringing things into our life to get our eyes off the goal. Turn with me back to 2 Timothy, but go to the last chapter for a moment, chapter 4. In chapter 4, remember, Paul is in prison, and he's getting ready to face the executioner's block. In his time of greatest need, he only has Luke there with him. And verse 10 has to be one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Look at it here. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now envision this with me if you would. He's hungry. He's cold. He's preparing for death. And in the midst of that, he says to us, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul, at the hour of his death, is saying to us, not to let the things of the world entangle us. He's saying, stay focused. Don't be like Demas. Stay focused on the Lord. Stay focused on the goal. Be strong in the Lord, trusting and relying upon Him. Commit the gospel and commit your testimony on to the next generation so that they can continue to pass it down the line. Endure hardness in the service of the Lord, no matter what comes along. And then stay focused on the goal. And what is that goal? Turn back to chapter 2. Our goal, very simply, is to please our commander. Look at the end of verse 4. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That is our goal. There are, as you saw, several men here today that have raised their right hand and sworn this oath. I, and then they inserted their own name, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. And there is only one supreme commander over all branches of the United States military, and that is the President of the United States. Every single soldier, from the lowest enlisted man to the highest ranking officer, has sworn to obey his orders. That's part of being in the military of the United States of America. My grandfather told me one time that as he was leaving the military after having served in World War II, one of his discharge officers told him this. He said, "You are leaving the greatest fighting force ever known to man." And that is absolutely true. That is the military of the United States. And the president is the one in charge. But as a Christian, there is a supreme commander in our life that holds precedent over the President of the United States, and that's God Himself, the one who is the supreme and ultimate commander. And Paul tells Timothy here what he needs to do in order to properly serve that commander. He says, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That is, you trust in Him for all the strength and all the help that you need. And then commit the gospel and commit your testimony to others. Make sure it's getting passed on to the next generation. Endure hardness. Just keep on keeping on for the Lord no matter what. Don't quit. Don't give up on the Lord. And then stay focused on the goal of pleasing Him who has chosen you to be a soldier. And who's chosen us? It is the supreme creator of this universe. If you are a Christian, if you are trusting Christ alone for the salvation of your soul, then you have been called into the Lord's army. And you have a choice to make. What will you do with that call? Are you strong in the grace that is found in Christ? Are you trusting and leaning upon Him for strength and power? Are you committing the gospel to others? Are you spreading it on to the next generation? Are you enduring hardness as a good soldier of Christ? Or are you living in retreat mode? And are you staying focused on what is really important. Are you answering the call of the Lord Jesus? Are you living to please Him who has chosen you to be a soldier? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the challenge to our hearts. We thank you for these great words of the Apostle Paul, this challenge to Timothy. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take up this challenge.